Produced by women about women, Powerful Women Let's Talk is a series of interviews with women who are trailblazers and have helped shape our world, transforming who we are and how we live. Powerful Women Let's Talk is made possible in part by Family Fair, keeping it real.
Michelle LaJoy Young has served Kent County for over 30 years. Today, she's the sheriff. Her involvement and outreach extends beyond the sheriff's office, serves on many boards at the local, state, and federal level, plus has been appointed two boards by three different governors and served to advise on five separate FBI committees and task forces. But what is her role as sheriff, and how does she ever escape from her duties, we'll ask. Welcome to Powerful Women Let's Talk, Sheriff LaJoy Young. Hello to you.
So good to be here.
Good that you are here. Let's get this out of the way. Did you bring your badge?
I did. I always bring my badge.
Are you required to bring your badge?
Well, technically, as sheriff, I'm the one who makes up the rules now for our department. But, you know, it's you're never really quite 100% away from it. Obviously, something can always happen where you might be inclined to intercede at some point or seek help for somebody. And it's nice to be able to identify yourself appropriately. So I generally do carry a badge with me.
Did you have a badge as a little girl?
I did not. That's something I got when I started with the sheriff's office.
Yes. You have spent 30 years in one county. Did you set a goal to become sheriff?
I never did set a goal to become sheriff. I, as every position unfolded, I always sought to be the very best I could and have the best impact in the position that I was in. And sometimes that led me to the next position and then to the next position, but I didn't seek to be the sheriff. Coincidentally, my dad was sheriff when I was growing up in another part of the state. And so I understood it. I knew what it was, and I admired him for it, but I didn't really see myself filling that role. And I think that's something common for women, too.
What are your responsibilities as sheriff of Kent County?
Well, you know, first and foremost, it's for the staff that carries out the mission every day of public safety and community engagement. And it's up to me to really make sure that they've got everything that they need to do direct service to the community. If they aren't safe, they can't make others safe. So I strive to make sure that they're properly equipped, especially trained, morally supported, emotionally supported to go out and serve.
Are you a boots on ground? Do you have to do the arresting?
Not anymore. You know, quite frankly, I've had just about every role at the Sheriff's Department over those 31 years. It's my 32nd year of service, and I have absolutely done all those tasks. But at this point, that's not really what the sheriff does. You have to really think of the sheriff as more of a CEO of the sheriff's office. I do a lot of planning. I do a lot of management of resources to ensure the right things are in the right places and being used the right ways. But the staff is what really has direct service with the community every day.
So breaking that myth, I shouldn't have studied the Andy Griffith Show before this conversation.
right. Although interesting, but no, not.
Yes. Thank you for that. Let's talk about your role, persistence and perseverance that may have played in your journey and how you recommend that to us in finding our way.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's a great lesson for both professionals and women professionals specifically, but really just being in the place you are and doing the very, very best you can in that place. And that means proper preparation. It means determination. And there are always setbacks in any role any of us have. And, you know, being able to just kind of pick yourself up, work through it, get more information, get more support. That's been the key to both my happiness in the roles I've had at the sheriff's office and also success, because it's not the kind of field where there's successes every day. So I've really appreciated my ability to dig deep and my ability to ask other people to help me dig deep and motivate me. So
I have to ask if your father was supportive.
Interesting. It's kind of an odd story because he was not in favor of me joining the field initially. He, it was a difficult time. 1984, there weren't a lot of women in expansive roles in Sheriff's Department. I was educated. I had spent a lot of time and effort preparing myself professionally. And I think my dad wished for me to do something easier. But once I was in the role and once I became invested in the field, he grew very supportive and has absolutely been one of my strongest mentors over the years.
You served in the Army Reserves. How did that role in particular prepare you for your role today?
Well, a couple ways. One, the resources that a young person who doesn't have resources to go to school can get by serving in the military are really second to none. And I think that's something really important for people to understand that that's out there. But the military gave me an opportunity to practice leadership, to really just kind of develop your decision-making skills, your mentoring skills, your guidance skills. And yet if you fail one day, you pick yourself up, you have to do it again tomorrow. You have to do it again tomorrow. There's no avoiding it. So I really learned a lot from that in perseverance.
You mentioned 1984. Here we are in 2021. Are you a minority as a woman in this profession of sheriff? Have there been naysayers along the way?
Well, I'm absolutely sure there are naysayers. They don't always say it to you, but it's small ways, right? But there are only about 1.5% of sheriffs in the nation who are women. And so, yeah, I definitely am in a minority in the sheriff's role. Even in the chief of police role, the numbers get a little bit bigger, but not dramatically bigger. But I'm really pleased to say that over the years, I look back and there are so many more women in such a larger variety of roles in criminal justice that I'm pleased. I'm hearing more women's voices at the tables of decision makers and people who are really influential in the criminal justice field. And, you know, I'm incredibly inspired by some of the work I've seen a lot of these wonderful women do. And I am encouraged that that's going to continue to move in that direction. It's not an easy field. It's something that's very difficult. So you really have to be, you have to do it for the love of the field. You do it for the love of service of the people. But I'm encouraged.
What is difficult? And then what gets you up in the morning?
What's difficult is sometimes the problems that you're addressing are not problems you can fix today. You have to make very determined incremental steps forward every single day that you work. And there are always instances that make it feel like a backslide. And you know, I got to try again. But that's both the difficult part and also the inspirational part. That's what propels me forward, that I see if I look back over time, really meaningful progress and really meaningful ways that we've helped people. And then I also see ways that we can continue to do better.
Why has community involvement been so important to you?
For one, it feeds me. I just love dealing with our community. We are so blessed here in this community, and we have so much to offer every single human being who's here. And so I love doing it for that. But also, I need every person here to understand we're here to serve. And if we're not serving you correctly today, we need to learn more about how to better meet your needs and how to better develop together into the future. So I get very inspired by those conversations and by the initiatives that we're able to move forward with some of those conversations. And it only happens when we know each other. Mm-hmm. And yes, we only know each other by community engagement.
Getting the word out about you. As a top 200 business leader in West Michigan and an influential awardee, what must today's leaders possess? What do you look for? What do you have?
They need a heart for service. That's the number one thing, that you will not do anything well if you're not doing it for the right reasons. And so to truly influence in the community today, you have to have a heart for service. You have to have determination to make positive changes. And you have to know how you can best serve those goals.
You have a very important position, but you are human. Tell me about Charlie.
Well, Charlie is my 60-pound golden doodle lap dog who gets very interested in every Zoom call I have from home now and tries to get into every shot. So she's a lovable, and we were chatting, but it's been fun to be a little bit more often home with her and having that time. I'm a little bit fearful of how she's going to respond when I go back to more regular hours, because more of my events are outside.
Yes, part of the family. As is Haven.
Haven is my brand new granddaughter. She turned 6 weeks old on Monday, and she's just a beautiful light.
You are an active sheriff.
Yes, very active sheriff. You have to be. You know, and that gets back to being physically and emotionally ready to serve. And so for me, both physical and emotional support is staying active. It's swimming. I love to open water swim and bike and get out. And this is such a beautiful community. So I get out and hike and walk the wonderful trails. And It's wonderful.
The opportunity to travel. You climb the Great Wall. You've been to Ireland. What is this, taking your kids to all 50 states?
I did, yeah. Before my two boys graduated high school, we took them to all 50 states, most of it in a 1985 RV that didn't make all 50 states, but made most of them. So yeah, it's been a wonderful opportunity. And every state we would go to, we would take turns picking something to do in that state, whether it's a national park or we went for a hike or to a lake, or it was just a wonderful opportunity to spend time as a family and then understand how blessed we are.
Little birdie tells me, though, that you haven't traveled since becoming a sheriff. What's up with that?
Well, it hasn't been the best time to travel over the last year. I've been sheriff for about 2.5 years, and last year absolutely has been, struck by COVID and some of the community unrest that, you know, nationally we're dealing with. So I thought my attentions had better be spent more here and dealing with what I've committed to do. But I do hope to travel again very soon.
And let's talk to the adjustments with the events of 2020, the pandemic in particular, the racial protests. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, it's been a difficult year in so many lives. You know, obviously we've lost a lot of our friends and families. And that's just heartbreaking to know that we have that in the community. I have appreciated how much our community has come together, leveraged resources to make sure that we're lifting up people and make sure that we're doing what we need to keep each other healthy, safe, and press forward. You know, whether it's the Pfizer vaccine that happened here in Kalamazoo, Michigan, the other vaccines that are coming to our community, and I hope everybody's doing their part to make sure they stay safe so that they can keep others safe. Public safety had a very challenging time with that. Obviously, I can't keep officers from making human contact. So our officers really did a wonderful job making sure the safety protocols were followed. We changed our operations and did a lot of things over the phone that we used to do in person. It's not quite as effective, but it was more effective than people getting sick. And in the correctional facility, we worked very closely to make sure that anybody who might be at risk had an opportunity for segregation. We have 24/7 medical care. But in some cases, some of those individuals were released from custody because they couldn't be maintained in a safe way and their charges were low enough that it didn't cause an issue to the community. So every day we look, how do we do it better today? Every day.
What needs to happen this year?
Well, I think particularly in the correctional facility, the risk is still very, very imminent in that it really just takes a drop in protocol for a day or 2 days and somebody can get in and cause very serious risk issues for people who are incarcerated. So we're constantly striving to make sure, you know, that we don't let that happen. So that's this year. You know, law enforcement, we start to see the community spread diminish over the course of this year, predictably, and vaccines are becoming more normal in our community. So we're going to continue to be very vigilant and start to re-engage in some of our community outreach things, because as you also mentioned, racial unrest was a really big issue starting last spring and into the summer. And you know what? I would anticipate those conversations are very much still here. And we're going to be having to engage often, wanting to engage often to build forward from that. And, you know, often that takes human contact. So we're looking forward to being able to do that more effectively into the course of this, you know, the 2021 year, 22 and beyond. We developed a strategic plan that we published in February, right before COVID struck last year. And our top two priorities are public safety and community engagement. So being able to put some of those plans further in place is hopeful for me.
Are you a reader? Do you have a favorite read?
You know, I am a reader. It's usually assigned reading for different issues. My Grandmother's Hand is the most recent book that I've just read, and I did it as part of a group book read for a board that I sit on, Children's Advocacy Center. It was very enlightening. It's something I would highly recommend, and it talks about trauma and trauma both personally and as a community, and how do we work through trauma to get to the better place that we can be at the end. So it was a very good read. I'd recommend it.
And you're making sure your boys follow the law?
Well, my boys are young adults, and I know I try very hard. We'll go with that.
You did.
Yeah.
How can the community be the best it can?
You know, communities keep communities safe. Police don't. And remember that as part of this community, you're keeping your neighbor safe. You're keeping your family safe. And you have to do whatever you can to meet that need. And sometimes it's through mentoring somebody or reaching out to somebody who needs help. Sometimes it's through, you know, advocating for somebody with whatever official government entity they need to be engaged with. And sometimes it's telling government, you're not doing it right, and we need your help differently than what you're doing. So I think everybody has a different role, and I just advocate that people look for their role and then do it.
Thank you, Kent County Sheriff Michelle LaJoy-Young, for this conversation.
Wonderful to be here. Thank you.
And thank you for listening to this edition, Powerful Women Let's Talk. I'm Shelley Irwin.
Produced by women, about women, these powerful podcasts focus on powerful women and how their strength transforms who we are and how we live. Want to hear more Powerful Women Let's Talk? Get additional interviews at WGVU.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Please rate and subscribe. Powerful Women Let's Talk is made possible in part by Family Fair, keeping it real. It is produced by WGVU at the Meyer Public Broadcast Center at Grand Valley State University. The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of WGVU, its underwriters, or Grand Valley State University.